Hi, I'm Will Roadhouse, and I'm the CEO of Roadhouse International, and welcome to another episode of Expat Thailand. Today, I'm going to talk about a number of different things. I'm going to talk about side hustles, or should I say a lack of side hustles, and why it's not even necessary. I want to talk about if you decide that you want to come to Thailand, and you are going to have a side hustle, or you still want to have some sort of income coming in, how to best juggle your life when it comes down to your residence and what your schedule would look like. So first and foremost, let's talk about side hustles. I get this question all the time. I just recently got, I think I got like 5 or 6 emails over the last few months. Well, I think we're going to Thailand, but I don't want to quite retire. We're not ready to retire yet. What's a good side hustle? And I've done this episode a few times. I have hundreds and hundreds of them, so I don't want to dig for it. So I'll just do it again with some updates. Thailand is a unique region of Asia because we're surrounded by other poor countries, but Thailand, specifically Bangkok, feels like a major metropolitan first world city that you will see anywhere in North America or in Europe, anywhere. You walk around Bangkok, you're like, wow, this is an amazing city. You feel like you're in New York. You feel like you're in London. You feel like you're in Sydney. Because there's just everything here. People are dressed nice. You see people with money. You don't see poor people. Actually, the worst dressed are always the expat Americans. They're like the worst dressed. They look like they're super poor. Where you see local Thais. Like I said, everything here, because the importation tax, cars cost 2 to 3 times, even 4 times more money, depending how exotic the car is. A typical 3-series Mercedes or 3-series BMW in the United States would cost anywhere from, what, $30,000 to $40,000? Here's $100,000. A Ferrari California in the United States would be about $250,000. Here, it'd be close to $1 million. So, depending, my wife and I, just for the heck of it, we went shopping at Porsche, and we were looking at the, because I used to have a Cayenne S in Newport. I love my Cayenne, but it's a big car. So I actually never test drove the Macan. And we went and took a look at Macan. The Macan in the United States is a $50,000 to maybe $55,000, $60,000 SUV, compact SUV. Well, not quite compact, but a smaller SUV. Here, standard Macan, $120,000. Mini Cooper. I've had many of those. Love Mini Coopers. That was one of my daily commutes. Mini Coopers today cost about, what, $28,000, $30,000? Here, they're considered a luxury car. They're about $60,000 to $70,000. You see nice cars here. You see people with money. That's why I love Bangkok, because there's wealth here. There are rich people that want to spend money. Now it all depends on what is your product and what is your service. What are the trends here? Some of the trends that have not changed, as I stated many, many times, Asians are really getting into health and fitness, especially weightlifting. See more and more women in the gyms, guys in the gyms. Guys want to have big arms. They want to because Asians aren't fat. So Americans or Westerners are extremely obese, so they go to the gym to kind of try to slim down. Asians are slim. They're trying to get rid of the baby fat, the little fat layer, but they're not fat. They're just trying to bulk up. So our equivalent of Equinox is here. Gyms costing $100, $150 to $200 a month. There are a lot of them, and they are full. So in a place like Thailand, where the average monthly income is about $300 a month, and you see gyms that are $100 to $200 a month that are full, people have money here, and they have a lot of it. So health and fitness is very big. People are willing to pay money to look good. If you're not aware, Asians in general are very vain. It's all about aesthetics. It's all about looks. As I stated a few episodes ago, please, men, especially guys from the United States, when you come to Thailand, dude, leave your cargo pants and your tank tops at home. Leave the ratty backpack and shit. Leave that at home. When you come here, I don't care how rich you are, you just basically stamp, I'm a foreigner and I'm poor. This is just Asia, folks. It's a very vain country. You have to dress better. If you want to be taken seriously, you have to dress better. I have tank tops. I don't go out and wear them. Only at home. Only at home. Cargo pants? Freaking toss all that shit out. I threw them in garbage. No, actually, I didn't throw them in garbage. Donated them to an orphanage. Got rid of all of them. When I walk out that door with my wife, we're dressed nice. Because if you want to be taken seriously, it's like a uniform. You dress nice. Especially if you're a foreigner. You have to go the extra mile. So because Asians are vain, they want to look good. They're already thin, now they want to rip up. They want to get rid of the baby fat. So gyms, packed. More and more gyms are popping up everywhere. Supplementation freaking costs an arm and a leg. The shittiest and the worst protein products that you see in the States that maybe cost, I don't know, a big jug that would cost maybe 30 bucks now, here's 100 bucks. And the lowest form of any sort of other supplementation is always three times more here. We don't have quality products here. The quality products are very hard to get or super freaking expensive. So one of the things that I do bring, my wife and I bring every time we go to the States, we bring all of our supplements, not just for us, but for our families. So I bring the protein powders. I like my Diamize, I think that's how you pronounce it, my Fruity Pebbles. Oh, protein shake is so freaking good. So freaking good. And everything from krill oil, milk thistle, magnesium, calcium, glucosamine, cranberry, red yeast, red rice yeast, all kinds of supplements. We bring that here because it's expensive, and multivitamins. I do believe in supplementation. I really truly believe in supplementation. So if you have, or if you are in the healthcare or any sort of health and fitness industry, supplementation, there is a tremendous amount of opportunities for you here. It all depends on how you do it. So that's one, health and fitness. The other thing too, Thailand is very, very well known for medical tourism. It's actually one of the top in the world. Number two in the world for plastic surgery. Some of the best plastic surgeons are here in Thailand. The best plastic surgeons are in Korea. The best plastic surgeons in general are here in Asia. You know why? Because plastic surgeons, I don't know why, my wife and I just were boggled. Plastic surgeons in Western countries like the United States, they all have that same look, that lion face, that really weird with the big giant cheeks and a big freaking fat lips. They look like lions. Just looks, doesn't look natural. But then when you look at plastic surgery here in Asia, like Korea, it looks natural, looks good. So plastic surgeons, there are many, many great ones here in Thailand. Where you, if you have negotiation skills, know where to go, you can work with different type of plastic surgeons and maybe create some sort of medical tourism trips, VIP trips. Also, in addition to plastic surgery, as any other type of medical. It's a fraction of the cost here. I'm not gonna go over all the details and talk about health so much here, but hospitals are fantastic. Their service is excellent. It makes any Western nation or any other country to shame. These Western countries, when you go to hospital, you're literally, it's like, oh God, it's just the freaking worst experience. Worst freaking doctors. Doesn't give a shit about you. Here, they treat you well. You come to a ISO hospital, that's a private hospital, they will see you within 15 to 20 minutes. You're going to be kept in the lobby for an hour. Then when you go see a doctor, it's another hour. Nothing like that. Everything's a fraction of the price. Ladies, I had no idea. I was flabbergasted when I found out how much it costs to have a kid, to have a baby. It was like literally $30,000 to $50,000 to have a baby. I'm like, are you effing kidding me? It costs that much? Like, yeah. And if you want a private room, you're like, $40,000, $50,000. I'm like, no freaking way. I had no idea. No idea it costs that much to have a baby. Here in Thailand, if you're going to have a baby with a private room for 2 to 3 days, I mean a suite, you're talking as low as $1,500. That's it. That is it. Hold on, once again, let me just take a sip of my coffee here. That is it, folks. Colonoscopies, whatever you want to do, it is a fraction of the price here, better service, great doctors, many of them are trained in Western countries. So I do a health check. My amazing wife always plans it for me. So I do a health check first quarter of every year, full body up and down scan. I don't have insurance. Same exact health check with everything I do. It takes a half a day, blood, urine, ultrasound, everything. Would cost anywhere from probably $1,500 to $2,000 in the States. Cost me $300 here. And I get the executive package. You can have it, you can get a full body exam for as low as $100 at a public hospital. It's that cheap. And everything, you just walk right in and get it done. It's not like America, where you have to call a doctor, then they're fully booked up, you go see them 3 days, and then you go into a shitty little clinic, and then they just don't even, it just, I hate Western doctors, they're the freaking worst. So everything here is better. Medical tourism, one huge opportunity for you. Another fantastic benefit here in Thailand is dental work. Dental work is also a fraction of the price here. As I just recently stated from a couple of episodes ago, I had 4 teeth filled in because I brushed my teeth too hard. 4 teeth filled. United States, $1,500 to $2,000, and that doesn't include a teeth cleaning. Here, 4 teeth filled with teeth cleaning cost me $100. That's it. If you're in Bangkok, I recommend going to Moe's Dental. They have about 20 to 25... dental clinics throughout Bangkok. Is actually one of my wife's clients. She trains all their staff. Fantastic, amazing wife and husband that created this empire, this dental empire here in Bangkok. My wife's training, it's, God, I don't know how many hundreds of people. There's actually a picture of her training them, filling this auditorium. But fantastic hospital, great fair pricing. Moe's Dental, so MOS Dental. And you'll see them all throughout Bangkok. So that's where we go. So that's an opportunity for you. If you're a hustler, if you like to put deals together, if you like to work with rich people, you can make a difference. You can make that margin. Because I'll give you an example of a margin. Rent is an Aussie tourist that were here in Bangkok for dental work. There were a whole bunch of them. There were like about 5 or 6 of them. I think they were all women. And they're here for dental work. They said back home, one woman, and they're all in their 60s, one woman said the same exact procedures that she was going to have done in Australia. If I can recall, I think they were all from Melbourne. or me from Sydney, it was going to cost like $15,000 here, including the airplane ticket and hotel. Same thing, get everything done, was about $5,000. And another one of our friends had some dental work that was going to be like, back home was at $20,000 to $25,000, and again, like under $10,000 or less than that. So again, dental is just a huge benefit here. It's so inexpensive. So many great dentists everywhere, everywhere. So put your mind to work, medical tourism. That's number two. Number three, because there's so much money here, people love to indulge. Anything where it's bragging rights, where it's an Instagram moment, like taking a picture of a freaking, where a tomahawk ribeye steak in the States would maybe cost $200 to $300, where here maybe it cost $1,000. Yeah, there are plenty of people that buy stuff like that. Personal chefs, designer clothing, handbags, jewelry, whatever it may be. All I can say is, if you're going to create a product or service, only cater to the high so ties, high society ties, the rich ties. Forget about the upper middle class, and lower. Structure your product or service only towards high so ties. That's the best advice I can give you. And then when it comes down to being a real estate agent, a broker, dude, folks, don't even waste your time. I'm a very unique business because I charge 10%. We start at 10%. And we can certainly charge that because 20 years in business, 20 years of doing this, not just in real estate, but also background in asset management, in estate planning, ex-banker, wealth manager. So there's a lot that we bring to the table when we're working with our clientele. Thus, we can charge 10% to the buyer. But when I looked into Thailand, when I first came here to open a brokerage, the average commission was like 1 to 1.5%. I'm like, are you effing kidding me? And you do like a shit ton of work. It's not like the States where you're getting paid 3, 5, 6%. For basically sitting your ass doing nothing, because really, all the work, the majority of the work is being done by the escrow agent, the escrow officer. We all know that. Come on, folks. Let's take it for what it is. Being a broker or an agent in the United States or any other Western country is the easiest freaking job because we're completely overpaid for what we do. We don't do anything. We show a client, walk them through the house, answer a bunch of questions, put the paperwork together. Once it goes to escrow, they pretty much do all the work. Okay, yeah, you're going to call a home inspector, maybe show up for, it's nothing. The escrow officer is doing all the work in title. or your closing assistant. Here, that's also another reason why we charge 10%. It is an arm and a leg. It's literally 2 full days of going to the Department of Land, waiting in line, going through this person, that person. And you have to pay them bribes. You have to pay this person and that person and that person. And you have to come back because procedures are never the same. Yes, we have to go through that. Just the nature of the beast, it's the way it is. It's a huge ordeal. It's a huge ordeal. So getting paid 1 to 1.5% to go through that amount of work and everything is manually done, no effing way. So I'm sorry to burst your bubble, as I bursted many bubbles of other real estate professionals thinking that they could come to Thailand and create a real estate business, you're wasting your time. Complete waste of time. If anything, if you want to start a business here, it's not doing business here. It's getting your clients from abroad, like what I do, charging the buyer whatever it may be, whatever you want to charge, and make helping them make the transition and finding their dream home here in Thailand. That's always been my business model ever since Costa Rica. We charge a buyer. And there's reasons why we do that, is because it's a very shady business that I'm in. I would say only 10% of the brokers and agents around the world are actually competent. The 90% are absolute shit. They are the worst. These are people that should never be in a business because they're only out for the commission. They're never there to help the buyer or the seller, especially the buyers. Giving them the wrong information. And all they're trying to do is push their listings. That's it. Push their listings. Like United States, what's number one strategy? Get as many listings as you can. Put it on the MLS because someone else is going to sell it for you. And being a buyer's agent, all you're going to try to do is pawn off your listings or pawn off the listings in your brokerage because you know they're going to pay you a higher commission. Where we bypass all that garbage, all that shady practices, and we find you exactly what you want. Everything that you've ever wanted in a dream home, on your checklist, and then some. We will find that home for you because we're charging you. We're not trying to pawn off one of our listings. We don't have any listings. So that's just a little of what we do. And if you want to do something like that, it takes time, folks. It takes time to develop that. The business that I'm in is extremely difficult and it's not easy. I've been doing this for 20 years. The numbers you may think are staggering. Oh my God. There are X millions of people from the United States and Canada from North America, and more millions of people come from Australia and from Europe, from the UK, that are wanting to move to second world nations and retire. Folks, it's not true. It's so not true. I've been doing this for 2 decades. It's not true. You have to bust your ass going out to try to find a buyer. And you know what the most difficult thing is? Trying to get them to come to the country. An average sale is literally like closing a commercial deal. It doesn't take 6 months. It takes 1 to 2 years. That's why there's so many people that don't last in their business. That's why I've been doing this for such a long time. I've seen so many people come and go. Because you talk to someone, they get fired up. They've been researching everything about Thailand or Costa Rica or Panama or Nicaragua or Belize for such a long time. They went on vacation. They love it. They're like, oh my God, I want to go. And they get home. They get excited. They start researching on Google. They find your name. They call you. I want to buy a home there. They're like, great. Let me send you a list. Let me send you an exclusive agent agreement. Half of them want to sign that. Don't hear from them again. Because that's how I weed people out. If you can't sign my exclusive agency and agree to a 10% commission, don't waste my time because I certainly won't waste yours. That's one way of weeding people out. Then, when they sign it, remember, it's not just convincing the wife or convincing the husband. Now you got to convince the other spouse that doesn't want to move. Then you have to convince their kids and their sisters and their brothers or their parents. They all have to be on conference calls, and they're never on the conference call at the same time. Because they're all telling you, why do you want to move there? They're just going to kill you because you're white. They're going to kidnap you. They don't have indoor plumbing. They're cannibals. It's just so fucking ridiculous. It's insane. It's like these people like live under a freaking rock. Some of the stuff I hear is so asinine. In just 20 years of doing business, I'm like, my God. Did you even go to school one day in your life? Instead of just watching, you know, stupid reality shows, turn on freaking Nat Geo and watch some educational programs, maybe on PBS too. But folks, I'm just scratching the surface. If you want to be in my line of work, it is not easy. There are so many times that I had to change my business model. And what finally worked for me was working with my niche. I don't work with first-time home buyers. They're just freaking, they're the worst. I'm sorry. A million freaking questions. They can't make decisions. I work with what I've always worked with at the bank, rich people. They know how to make decisions fast. And they can do it now, not tomorrow. And I know how to cater. I know how to understand their needs because I'm also one of them too. So I worked in my niche. And then in addition to that, I just stopped doing Latin America. It's a waste of effing time. There's just not enough to sell there in Latin America. Costa Rica, is just, there's never enough. Everyone's on freaking Tico time. Nobody wants to work. Developers take like 20 years to build a project. They freaking take 10 years to even make a decision. Here in Thailand, oh God, there's inventory up the wazoo. Obviously, finding the good stuff is few and far between. But you just want to sell real estate, man, there is so much for you. There's so much inventory here. That was the biggest problem I had with Latin America. Not enough to sell. Not enough choices for buyers. So if you do want to get into real estate, I can tell you it's the toughest decision you'll ever make. Assume that you're not going to make any money or close your first deal for at least a year to maybe 2 years. It will take that long. Because regardless of what you read or the numbers that you see, not everybody wants to move out of their country. So let me take you through the process of these questionnaires. They'll take these focus groups. They'll sit you down. Obviously, they pay them. The question is, would you move out of the country? Most are just going to say yes. Yeah, hell yeah. Would you ever move to Mexico? Yeah, I would. Oh my God, I love it there. Would you ever move to Costa? Yeah, yeah. Would you ever move to Southern Europe? Like Spain? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because that's their dream. But remember, when it comes down to actually doing it, the yes are, I don't know, you know, it's pretty inconvenient. I've got a life here. I don't speak the language. It's just one excuse after another. I've been doing this for 20 years. I know every freaking excuse. I can size up a person within the first 20 to 30 minutes of the conversation, whether they're serious about buying something or not, or they're more vacationer. So these questionnaires, when you see these numbers of millions of people are thinking of, it's a pipe dream. It's not real. It's like if you ask someone, hey, would you ever want to be famous? Oh yeah, I definitely want to be famous. Okay, would you want to be in the movies or TV? Either one. I'd love to be on TV, I'd love to be an actor, love to be an actress. Okay, so this is how you do it. You gotta take these acting classes, you gotta do this, you gotta move to LA. Oh, well, I don't think I can do that. I can't commit to that. So again, it's a pipe dream. Everybody wants to be famous, everybody wants to be on TV, everybody wants to be in movies, everyone wants to be an influencer. But when you show them the work that has to be done, like I say, folks, so many times, it's not that inconvenient moving here. It's just like moving to another state. You just moved to another country. It's really no different. But people think it's a big ordeal. So when push comes to shove, out of the every 1,000, no, let's make it more like 10,000. Every 10,000 people that said, yes, I'm thinking about moving overseas, I would say maybe only 10 will actually do it. Maybe even one would do it. It's that low, folks. It's not real. I used to spend tens and thousands of dollars in running full-page ads in Dream Home magazines, major periodicals from Wall Street Journal, USA Today, Rob Report. I used to pay tons for Google AdWords. None of them worked. Even during the heydays in the 2000s. You know what worked in the 2000s? We basically did seminars with the help of partnering up and working with real estate brokerages throughout the United States and Canada. That's what worked. Never did we have tons of people email us, and I spent tens of thousands every single month. I think annually I was at that time, and again, it was early 2000, I think I was spending at least a couple hundred grand just doing stuff like that. And that's a lot of money back. That's a lot of money now. Never worked. And even today, it doesn't work. 100% of my business is through referrals. Everyone is listening to this. I'm sorry to say, it's more a pipe dream to you. You're never going to do it. You're only listening to this because, yeah, the U.S. sucks, and the U.K. sucks, Australia sucks. You don't like this government. You like the upcoming government. You like this. You don't like that. But you're never going to move. You're listening to this is to make you feel better. And I'm glad I'm here to make you feel better. But really, this intention is for my existing clients that I've already been talking to listen to these podcasts to educate them. But people who are listening to this, no one's going to send me an email, call me. Nobody is. No one's going to say, hey, Will, they're listening to your podcast, and I'm looking to bring down about $1 million, maybe $3 million, maybe buy a luxury home or two. Or I'm not going to have anyone that says, hey, Will, I got $10 million. I want to move my whole estate to Thailand. No. It is all through referrals. 100%. They are from friends that have met other people that have said, hey, the other rich people that said, you know, I'm thinking of diversifying my assets. I'm pretty heavily weighted here in the States, here in Miami. And I'm actually thinking about maybe moving to Latin America. And my friend's like, well, don't do that. Talk to my friend Will, because he actually specialized in Asia, and he was in Latin America, and he moved out of Latin America, and he'll tell you why. But he specializes in estate planning, wealth management, and real estate, just for affluent clientele like yourself. That's my business, and it took 20 years to build that. Even being on Home and Garden TV, HGTV's House Hunters International, did you think? You would think. I was on that show for 8 years, produced all of our episodes, every single one of our episodes. All of our episodes were always the highest ranked every single season. 8 years I was on that show, never closed one deal. Never closed one deal. And every single one of those episodes cost me money, because the production company only gave us a small allowance. But we always put more in, renting helicopters, doing this, doing that, buying, you know, the production crew, putting them in better hotels, buying their meals for them. We did a lot. Money came out of my pocket to make the show better. And you would think that my email, my phone, giving messages and leads left and right. No, I didn't. Got some leads. None of them ever closed. Because it's a pipe dream. What I've created here in Thailand, even what I created in Costa Rica, is a pipe dream for most. It's a reality for people that do have a net worth of a seven-figure net worth. They can make that happen. But when you're looking at an average consumer that's middle class or upper middle class, this is not a reality for them. This is just a pipe dream, which I wish that people, upper middle class, even lower, this is a reality. This is a better life for you. But you just don't think it's obtainable. You don't think it can really happen. But it is. I see an average person in their 60s that maybe have their home paid off. They have little to no debt. They have maybe $300,000 to $500,000 saved up. But they're getting sicker and they're getting older and they're getting weaker and unhealthy. They know they're going to outlive their money. But if they come here, their life will be dramatically better and dramatically changed. But they're not willing to do that. Because they think it's inconvenient. It's scary for them. There are reasons why people that make a seven-figure income are different than people that make a five-figure income. We take more risks. We're willing to take these risks. And we're not scared to take these risks. Where even a person that's making $100,000 at In-N-Out Burger as a manager, yes, In-N-Out managers make $100,000. Same with Trader Joe's and Costco. They make good money. Even someone like yourself that's middle class, before you're considered upper middle class, now you're just middle class. You've done a good job, you maxed out your 401k, the stock has done well, the matching is great. You've also set aside some more money to put aside. You haven't incurred a lot of debt. Your home is almost paid off. This would be the perfect place for you. But you refuse to believe that because you think it's scary and unobtainable. But you listen to these podcasts because it makes you feel better. But I'm telling you, this is not a pipe dream. I'm not preaching something that's fiction. I'm telling you something, this is real. I see it every day. Not every day, because I don't go out every day. But I see it all the time when I meet new expats. They're not all rich. These are middle-class expats from back home that took the risk and came here and wished they would have done it decades ago. But you have to take the plunge. You can't make one excuse after the other. And these are the excuses that they always get. Well, my parents are getting older, and I want to be here. Yeah, I hear that. I can understand that. I can understand that. You're a great kid. That's great. Excellent. But you know what happens to a lot of those people that tell me that? I hear it all the time. I hear it for decades. Once their parents pass, they inherit all this other stuff, whether it's good or bad, of problems after the parent, and they never move. They just stay. Another excuse is, well, we don't want to bring our kids over abroad, so we're going to wait until they get to college, and then we're going to move. Doesn't happen either. By that time, it's just too late. They've incurred some other new debt. Something has happened. Something has changed. The macroeconomic environment has changed. In a recession, something's changed. It's too late. Too late for them. Those are the two biggest excuses that I get. Two biggest excuses. People never move. Then another one is, well, I don't speak the language. I don't understand the culture. And it's kind of scary. Well, dude, I can tell you that where you live in Chicago, where you live in LA, where you live in New York, where you live in New Jersey, where you live in DC, it is scarier to live where you live than where I live. I can walk out any time of the day and I don't have to worry about anyone shooting me or mugging me. Just a few days ago, my wife and I went and saw a first-run movie. No one's going to come in and shoot us. We were at a mall. No one's going to come and shoot us. We're having dinner at a restaurant. No one's going to come and shoot us. We're going to go watch fireworks coming up here for the Queen's birthday. I don't have to worry about some car trying to mow people over, someone trying to shoot us. So it's almost borderline, like people constantly just put hurdles in front of them on purpose. Yeah, it's and I just stopped talking to these people because it's just a waste of time. Yeah, another year because I have to do this. I have to, like, okay, dude, whatever. And I just like to tell those people, it's like, okay, that's great, but you know, call another broker. I'm retiring. I'm done. I can't help you. But the people who are ready to move are people like me, and there's not a lot of them. That's why I said this business is tough. It's not easy. People like me that feel the United States is not a bad place. Yeah, there are a lot of bad areas. It is getting worse and worse. Everything gets worse and worse. It's true. There's nothing about the States that's getting better and better. It just gets infinitely worse and worse and worse. Same with other Western countries. People like me that have the foresight to look 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now and ask yourself the hard questions. Am I going to outlive my money? Yes, I am. What should I do about it? I need to move. Where should I go? I need to go to a place like Thailand. Why? Because I will sustain my lifestyle until I'm dead. I get everything I want. I don't have to sacrifice anything. And here's the last thing when I talk about side hustles. I really came off the tangent. When I talk to a client that wants to do a side hustle, and these are people that are seven-figure earners and also net worth, I ask them, I say, why? Like, what do you mean? Why do you want to work? I feel I still have the energy. Yeah. I have the energy. I have the energy of someone half my age. I'm in better health than I am now than I was my previous self at half my age. But I don't really work. I take on less than a handful of clients a year, if even that. And I do that for fun. And I do that for a reason too. Because, well, I'm going to get into details, but I have other investment means where all my clients that I take on, the commissions that I make is used for other investment purposes. And I shared that with them. I said, but for someone like yourself that has worked hard, busted your ass, and you made a killing, why work? And when I really talk into detail, tell them my day-to-day life, my wife and I, what we do, and the amount of different things there to do other than work. Take up a new hobby, kiteboarding, Muay Thai, I don't care, badminton, scuba diving, fishing, charitable giving, whatever, bodybuilding. There are so many other hobbies, cooking. There's so many hobbies here. Traveling is the biggest. You have enough money that can last you 2 to 3 to 5 lifetimes by making Thailand your home base. You don't have to work. Instead of working, be a professional traveler. And I start naming off the countries that are within 1 hour to 3.5 hour flights from Bangkok. 11 different foreign countries. And then I start talking about the different hobbies that I have. And I talk about, because I have a long, lengthy discussion, so I get to know them a little more and about their hobbies and likes and dislikes. Then they start to realize, you know what? Maybe I'm not going to work. No, don't work. You've already done that. You've already worked hard, and this is your reward now. Thailand is your reward. Don't work. You always want to write that book? Write that book. You've always wanted to be a certified PADI instructor, which is scuba diving? Do that. You've always attempted to maybe be a semi-pro bodybuilder? Give it a shot. You want to get it? You love MMA? Maybe you want to try it? Heck yeah. This is the home of Muay Thai. sky's the limit. Don't work. Better yourself, because there's so many hobbies, so much fun shit to do. And then suddenly, I mean, I'm not there in front of them having this conference call with them. I can feel the light bulb just lights up. They're like, yeah, I'm not going to work. I'm going to do this. We're going to do this. I'm going to do that. Why work? Thailand gives you the peace of mind of not having to earn a monthly income. You came here with enough money. You don't have to have a side hustle. You don't have to deal with the minutiae and the bullshit of organizational BS, dealing with customers, trying to get customers, marketing. You've already done that. Why suffer through that? Thailand is your reward. It's like giving something, like you come to Thailand, here's a cake of your dreams, and you're like, I don't want that cake, you throw it away. You're like, instead, I'm going to make a cake. What? Here's a perfectly great cake ready for you. Here, eat it, enjoy it. But some people are like, no, I don't want it. I want to do it the hard way. I want to make the cake from scratch. I mean from scratch. That means that I'm going to grow the wheat. And then when I grow the wheat, I'm going to take the seeds and I'm going to grind it into flour. And I'm going to raise cows and I'm going to milk the cows for the cream. I know I'm being ridiculous, but that's exactly what goes on through my head. When I see someone and I know someone that has enough money to basically last through multiple lifetimes, but they still want to create a side hustle. And if you're asking yourself, you're like, well, some people are just like that because they need something to do. Yes, I understand that. But stress is the worst thing for your body. And people are very quick to forget stress, of how stressful it was to run their business. Very, very quick to forget. They only think of the successes. Like everyone else, it's just human nature. Think of successes. Think about the deals you closed. You don't think of all the deals you lost and all the heartache that you went through. You think of all the good stuff. But why go through that? Because you can substitute your side hustle for hobbies. You have a green thumb? Well, let me go find you a couple of acres. Or let's buy you a micro farm. Be a farmer. You've always wanted to be an artist? Start taking art classes. But most of all, you can be a professional traveler, an explorer. That should excite you more than anything else. There are so many wonderful, amazing things to explore and experience in this part of the world. So why work when you don't have to? So I hope I shed some light. I hope I motivated some people out there. If I may have offended you, I apologize. It's certainly not the case. Sometimes it just takes a little tough love. Because folks, you keep talking about it, but if you don't do it, before you know it, it's just going to be too late. Thailand is an opportunity for happiness. Don't let it pass you up. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll see you soon.